Set your course for the Hoth system. General Veers, prepare your men.
All troops will debark for ground assault. Prepare to target the main jet.
Echo Station 3TA.
On an Imperial Walker.
Attack pattern Delta. Go now. Watch that clock fire, boys. Right now, I feel like I could take on the whole Empire myself.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the bay.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the big 150th episode of Echo Base. We don't really have anything planned, so it's a big number, but it's just going to be a number. It's just another number, yeah.
Now wait a minute, this is exciting. Don't steal my thunder, this is awesome. Exciting?
Okay,
it's the 150th episode of Echo Base. What more do you need, Lou? This is...
And you're here, yeah. We have you as a guest, Eric.
And I'm here, yeah.
That's great. That's what we're doing for the 100th. No. You know what we're doing for the 150th?
Hmm.
We left Tim in Europe.
Yeah.
And we brought on Mike.
Hey.
Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm doing pretty good. I'm glad to be here.
Awesome.
I have reached the pinnacle of my dreams to be a guest on Echo Base.
Wow. Dude, you need to aim so much higher. Yeah. No, we need to get you a life coach or something, because like if that's... the pinnacle. Wow.
Can only go up from here.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So that's the crew we have for tonight. We have yours truly. We have Eric with us, and we have Mike.
Now, Mike, we should point out, is one of the hosts of the Caped Chronicles.
That's right. One of our newest shows on the network.
Yes.
Welcome to the family. And
enjoying it thoroughly.
You have to podcast with Eric all the time. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's the punishment.
Well, Carrie kind of evens it out, so we're okay.
True.
Good deal.
True.
At least you're getting to some better movies now, too. You're not stuck in the...
Oh, my gosh.
Well, we have one more super coming up.
God.
After we get through that one, we'll be... Okay. But hey, Ninja Turtles is coming up, so we're excited about that one.
I was until I watched it earlier today. Is.
Oh, boy.
It's okay.
I'll be looking forward to listening to that episode for you guys. So we have an announcement. And unfortunately, it's not happy news. We have to announce the fact that Katie is leaving the show. Unfortunately, you know, life gets in the way sometimes, and she's had to bow out due to other commitments. And she did have this posted on Discord, so I want to read this to you guys for those who aren't in our Discord family. She wrote, "Hey, anybody reading this, I just wanted to say that after a really fun short run as a host in Echo Base, I unfortunately had to bow out due to the joys of working in a high-tech startup. I should have seen this coming and thought I could do a decent work-life balance, but, well, work is getting very crazy. Just wanted to say a huge thanks to Lou, Eric, and Tim, and thanks to everybody who sent along their kind words while I was very briefly with the Echo Base crew." It's very sad. I mean, we all have that thing where things get in the way and work comes up and you just can't juggle everything all at once.
Well, and she's also moving like from the top of the East Coast to the bottom of the East Coast.
That's right. She's moving from, down to Florida.
She's got some big things going on. But so she's still in our Discord, and you know, we wanted to point out like there's no drama or anything. Everything is fine. It's just, you know, life happens. So
unfortunately, yeah. So we are trying to restructure a little bit, and we'll move forward from there. But we wish Katie all the best in her continuing endeavors with the startup company, which is awesome.
Absolutely,
definitely.
Very jealous, but you know, hey, somebody has got to do the fun stuff, I guess, right?
Yeah.
We can also announce that the Force Chatter Network is fully up and running. We have, you know, consolidated, you know, all the Star Wars shows on a network, into the sub network. They're still part of Random Chatter, but they're going to be part of the Force Chatter network just for branding purposes. When we do things like Celebration, and other Star Wars related events, which is going to kind of hopefully help us out. And, we do have a new logo coming. I'm not sure it's quite finished yet, right, Eric? We're still working on tweaking that.
Do we need to change it?
Oh, no, it's ready.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I've seen it. Oh,
you haven't seen it?
No.
Wow.
I thought it was posted in Discord, but
This is where I'm going to make fun of you, because I know you're busy at work, so you've got a legitimate excuse. So I'm actually going to make fun of it. Like, if you didn't have a legitimate excuse, I might feel bad about it. But yeah, no, dude, we've got, like, if you go to forcechatter.com, the website part of it's up. We've got the logo. We've got a Twitter account that's active. We've got, we're up and running, dude.
Wait a minute. It's got its own website already? I didn't know that. Well,
it's a subsection of the Random Chatter website. But if you go to forcechatter.com, it is just the Star Wars shows from Random Chatter, with its own little, like, audio player of just the Star Wars shows and the Twitter account. And, you know, yeah, it's so it's the chattering teeth mascot wearing Jedi robes and holding a lightsaber.
Okay.
It looks
done
good.
By Lydia. You can follow her on Twitter. She's at Lydia the Dragon. And we are very, very grateful, because she did a far better job with it than I could have ever done.
Yeah, Eric's first mock-up left me a little disturbed.
It was a concept. It was like, I know, think of it as like concept, storyboards.
It was a very
rough draft, right?
I didn't see Lou's.
I didn't have a rough draft. I know where my talents lie, and that's not one of them.
Uh-huh.
So I stayed away from that far, far away.
Man.
Okay, well, awesome. I'm glad that did get published. I see now. I see the website.
Week or two awesome. Ago.
Don't make me feel worse than I do.
Well, I can do it, though. Like, we mentioned it on the last Echo Base. We gave Lydia a shout out on the last Echo Base for her work on the logo, Lou.
Yeah, but I didn't think it was finished. I didn't realize it was published and finished. Okay. I thought it was still being a work in progress.
I'm sorry. This is awesome. I'm eating this up. This is. Oh, yeah.
Oh. You know what? Next week, we're not having you back, Eric.
I know.
Oh, where's Tim?
With Katie gone, you might have to.
I never thought I'd wonder where Tim was. Besides, he's going
on the side of the planet.
Well, you can always bring Andrea back, so it'd be Andrea and Tim with you, Lou.
I don't know that
that's
Tim would feel
Andrea's
safe.
Usually at my side, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, Tim wouldn't feel safe with that one. Andrea suggested that just kind of as a crossover chair. That we rotate the until we find a permanent replacement for Echo Base, we rotate the Outer Rim hosts through and just kind of keep cycling them through for now.
Sure, that sounds good.
That's a good idea.
We can make that work. Awesome. So do we have some huge news for the 150th show? Some big earth-shattering news? Eric, do you find anything good?
Kind of. I mean, we've got a couple of topics. They're not breaking news. They came out pretty much right after we recorded the last episode. But, yeah, we've got some interesting discussion topics, I think. And we've got a couple of smaller news tidbits to get to.
Okay. Well, the first one we have here is the live action series that's been teased to us, and we don't really have much detail at all besides the fact that Jon Favreau is behind it. The latest news is that we're going to have some filming starting this fall, which
apparently
isn't soon enough for me. I mean, I was kind of hoping we'd have dates announced by this fall as when we're going to see it, but if they're just starting filming in the fall, it's still putting a little ways off.
Well, yeah. You know, in a few days it's summer, so that's not
in a few days
that far off.
Well, it feels like summer.
Like summer already.
As far as the calendar goes,
true.
You know,
but now, okay. So let's. I mean, TV stuff works faster than movies. So filming starting in the fall, you could conceivably see this maybe by
early Christmas? Next year. I don't think early next year.
It depends. There are some things where, like Game of Thrones, they do the filming months and months and months in advance. Or The Expanse, they do the filming over the summer, and then they go into post-production and stuff, and you end up getting the episodes like in the beginning of the calendar year, something like that. Then you get things like South Park, where it airs at 10 p.m. on Wednesday, and Trey Parker and Matt Stone often finish it at about 8:30 p.m. on Wednesday and then upload the episode to the different distributors. So it depends a lot on the type of the show. Now, like something like Big Bang Theory, you can kind of work on those while you're releasing them to some extent. But something like this is going to have so much post-production.
Right.
That the filming is going to happen.
But even stuff with post-production, like, you know, back when Star Trek was on, you know, before the newest version of it now, but back when they were 24 episode seasons, I mean, they'd be working on those progressively throughout the season. They wouldn't get a whole season done and then publish it. It was, you know, 24 episodes, you'd get 6-7 episodes in, and you're still working on stuff in different stages the weeks before leading up to the release of that show.
But they were still practical effects for the most part.
Well, I could see them doing a spring release, because a lot of the TV schedules now is broken up into a spring TV card and a fall TV card. So if they're looking to get filming this fall, I can see them maybe dropping it in March and April and maybe running it through the beginning of June and then stopping it and coming back maybe December, January of the next year.
Yeah, that's really the big question, is strategically, when do they want to release it? It's less about when it's ready and more about when they want to time the release. I mean, production-wise, the other thing to talk about is Favreau, who has worked on The Jungle Book and the upcoming live-action Lion King movie. Apparently, a lot of that same technology is going to be used on this show. So we're talking heavy-duty post-production. We're not talking like it's mostly practical effects, and then they've got to add some green screen stuff for, you know, the main view screen on the bridge of the Enterprise or something. Like, this is going to be like some heavy duty stuff. This is going to be more akin to Star Trek Discovery level of production as opposed to Star Trek Next Generation. But like, going back to what Mike said, though, a lot of it really depends on the timetable. Now, we know this is for the streaming service, which is not coming until 2019 anyway. So we're not going to see them in 2018, period, even if they're ready.
Right.
I don't think they're going to quite be ready yet anyway, but we don't know how many episodes per season we're going to get. You know, some
shows... Yeah, and that makes a difference to it. Yeah.
Right. Some shows are 10 episodes, some are 22.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, too, is we don't know what the release model is going to look like. Is it going to be like Westworld on HBO, where there's a new episode every week? Or is it going to be like Luke Cage season 2 is about to drop on Netflix and it's going to be the whole season in one day?
I kind of wanted to be... Go ahead, Lou.
I really hope it's episodic and it's not just binge it all at once.
Yep.
Makes it so much easier for us to podcast about it. I mean, you know, plus it's not that, you know, pressure to watch everything as soon as it comes out, which you want to do, but we don't have time usually. So,
well, you know, Lou, you and I have been, we've been recording podcasts for years now, and we've covered movies and television and whatever. And like, we would have never really been able to do Lost Chatter if Lost dumped the entire season all at once.
Right.
And look at the Netflix shows. We haven't really ever done a podcast on them because, like, one person watches them the day of the release and they want to talk about it, but there's nobody to talk to about it. And another person might catch it 3 weeks later and they'll watch it over the course of a weekend. Another person watches it over the course of 4 or 5 months. Mm-hmm. Nobody's at the same spot at the same time. Altered Carbon on Netflix. I mean, we're talking like a Westworld level show, just about, not quite that level of intrigue, but like really, really, really good. A lot of hardcore sci-fi elements in there, a lot to talk about, but nobody's talking about it. So you're kind of killing the whole water cooler mentality where the day after the show airs, everybody shows up. Hey, did you see last night's episode? That whole part of society now is gone with these like total binge releases.
Yeah.
And I think it'll help too if it is released episodically that way, because we have the next Star Wars movie we have is not until the end of next year. So if they do plan on releasing it in the springtime, it gives you a way to kind of those diehard, you know, Star Wars fans, it gives them a way to kind of substantiate that long wait that they have.
Right.
Which is good. We want that. We want something to hold us over the long duration.
Right. I would have to think that, you know, I'm not knocking Netflix's business model, but I would have to think that releasing something on a weekly basis, you know, like a traditional TV show or something where you get it each week, you build anticipation for the episode, you build excitement, you build discussion about it.
Right.
And if the season works the right way, by the end of the season, you're building towards that finale, towards that cliffhanger. And people are talking about it, not just, here you go, here's 10 episodes. And there's really no anticipation. There's no cliffhanger coming to it. It's just, you know, you're going to watch it all. You're going to get it all at once, which is nice for the viewer, but I don't think it helps the marketing aspect of it.
Yeah,
I think there are some shows that are good for that, though. That would be good to have everything at once and just binge it over doing an episodic one. I mean, there's a few shows I watch right now that I wish they weren't episodic. I wish they were just a one season binge and be done. Because of the way the story flows.
I wonder if it's not watch them that way.
A grass is greener sort of thing, though. Like, can you, not to put you on the spot, because, you know, you didn't know we were going to be talking about this tonight, but can you give me an example of a show like that, Mike?
So for right now, okay, personally, now I know tonight is the, as we're recording, is the season finale of Supergirl.
Okay, yeah.
And I have no problem watching Supergirl. I enjoyed the show. This season, though, to me, has been just horrendous to try to get through. I feel like they could have summed up the last 9 episodes in like 3 and be done with it.
Yeah,
and I feel like maybe if I could binge it, maybe, and I'll probably go back and try to watch it on Netflix when it goes out on there. If I can binge it, it may make more sense. But right now, week by week, it just feels like it's dragging and dragging and dragging to get to the end.
So let me give you the flip side of that, because I've been DVRing them as they come out to then sit down and binge watch them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm having a really hard time binge watching them, because for the same complaint that you have about them dragging out, if I sit down and watch like 3 episodes back to back, I'm like, oh my gosh, I haven't gotten anywhere. And what time is it now? I've wasted how much of my day? So there are some pros and cons. I think it's good in some things, like the Netflix Marvel shows. I think sometimes it can be good because they get off to a really slow start. And if you can get maybe the first 2 or 3 episodes in all at once to get you hooked, it's a good thing. But overall, I would like to think, like for the Star Wars shows, I would like to have something new to come back and talk about every week rather than a lot to talk about all at once that we have to kind of divvy out ourselves over a few podcast episodes and then nothing until the next movie drops.
Right.
But I think that because this is a brand new streaming network, I think that they're smart enough to realize that they need to give people some reason to keep coming back. You know, don't just let them sit down and absorb all of your library, your entire catalog in a weekend, because then they're never going to return to the site. So, you know, dole it out little bit by little bit so that every week or a couple of times a week, they have to come back and build that habit. That muscle memory, if you will, and people will keep coming back. I think that's what they're going to do. I don't predict they're going to drop it all at once.
I hope not. I hope you're absolutely right. But, you know, and that also does bring up the point we talked about on Random Chatter last time about like CBS All Access.
Yeah.
You know, you want to get it because you want to watch Discovery, but you don't want to pay for it over several months, so you wait until the whole season drops and then get it for the free month or pay for 1 month if you've already had it before and do the whole 10, 12, 13 episode run in one shot and then cancel.
Right.
Does that help them as a network? Does it help them with revenue? No. I mean, they, you know, you want to get them coming back, and I don't know how all these different networks are going to keep that going, because at some point we're all going to get saturated with all these payments of $5.99, $6.99, $8.99 a month, and we're getting fed up.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm fed up with Star Wars stuff, but again, it's one more thing I'm going to pay for now. I'm like,
well,
okay.
But they need to make it so that it's like HBO and Netflix and not like CBS All Access, because I have no problem paying for Netflix. And
right.
I get HBO for free anyway through my AT&T membership, but like I could justify that in the sense that there's Last Week Tonight, there's I haven't watched that new show with what's the comedian from Saturday Night Live where he plays a mercenary who's now going to acting school.
I don't know.
Oh, it's right on the tip of my tongue. I feel like an idiot. Yeah, but so like there's that. There's Silicon Valley. There's Westworld. There's Game of Thrones. Like they've got an entire catalog of stuff. CBS All Access has a really good, phenomenal sci-fi show in Star Trek Discovery, but that's it. The Star Wars streaming service, if they're smart, they will stagger the weekly releases of the live action show of Resistance. They will not have those overlap if they're smart. one other project we'll talk about in a minute. And they will then also make available all of the Clone Wars episodes, the Rebels episodes, the Forces of Destiny, all of the films. Maybe go back and I know they're not going to re-release the holiday special.
But no, they will.
They should do like all of, do you have any idea how many behind the scene documentaries there are between all of these VHS releases and DVD releases and Blu-ray releases? There are far more than people realize. Plus all of these like 1 hour TV specials that all of these other networks did. They could go back and release the hour long to 2 hour long panels from the last two or three celebrations. Some of those are still interesting to watch just because of the interviews and you can stream them through StarWars.com. The video quality is good enough. Throw it on the streaming service. So they need to stagger the new stuff. They need to be comprehensive about the old stuff. And I think it'll be okay because by the time we're done with the live action, we'll have Resistance coming up. So we're not going to drop it like we did CBS All Access.
Right.
Well, you know, to go back to your point about paying for all these services, you know, I personally pay for Hulu. I do pay for CBS All Access because there's more than just Discovery that I watch on there. Me and my wife, we watch probably about 7 or 8 other shows weekly.
Yeah.
Because we don't have cable. So we pay that.
See, that makes a difference.
If you're a cord cutter, it's a whole different story.
Yeah. Right. So we have that and you know, we pay for the no commercials on Hulu. We pay a little bit extra, but it's nice. When DC streaming service drops, I'm gonna be paying for DC streaming service. When the Star Wars streaming service drops, I'm gonna be paying for Star Wars. I mean, it's that stuff. Like you said, it does add up.
Yeah.
So give me more for my money. Let me see it weekly instead. Give me something to worth making it hold on to, not just watch it and drop it.
Right. Well, and at least you're getting it a la carte. I mean, with me with this stuff, I've also got DirecTV. So. Oh. Like for me, CBS All Access is double dipping.
Right.
Because I'm getting CBS.
I'm paying Xfinity.
Right.
So I still and DVR they're my giving CBS a cut stuff to, that I want to watch.
Right. Yeah. So that's what makes it hard. If I were a cord cutter, it'd be a little bit different perspective. But even for the cord cutters who aren't double dipping for some of these things, it's still going to get to the point where, you know, there are enough different services on the market, you've got to be a little bit picky and you've got to make decisions about what you get and what you don't. But really, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably going to get the Star Wars streaming service.
Absolutely.
Well, I should say Lucasfilm, right? Because it'll probably also have Indiana Jones, stuff like
and
that.
I think it's Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Yeah. There's a reason not to get it. Well, now, you know, that's the other thing, too. I mean, is this going to be. I mean, there's a Disney streaming service coming, and there's this. Is this be part of the Disney streaming service, which I would hope?
No,
I'd rather have a Disney streaming service for all this stuff.
I thought
they were still going to split it up, and they were going to have – the last time I heard, they were going to have one for kind of an adult kind of streaming service, and then they were going to have a separate one for – like I know they have the Disney Now right now, which has a bunch of the kids stuff and the teenager stuff on it. Mm-hmm. But are they going to have a separate one that has all the adult stuff? So then you're going to have to pay for two.
Well, Disney Now, which is made up of the Disney Channel content, Disney Junior and Disney XD, does not require – it's not a pay service. You get access to that by already having a subscription to a cable provider or a satellite provider. So that's a little bit different technically from what we're looking at in this context. They don't have an option like CBS All Access or like HBO Go or things like that. So I don't know. My understanding was that the Disney thing was going to be its own separate thing. It had nothing to do with Lucasfilm. It had nothing to do with Marvel. It was going to be the Disney movies, the Disney television shows, which a lot of them are more kid-oriented. The little kid stuff, because it's all on demand, I mean, you can include that entire catalog.
Right.
And now what I imagine they will probably do is they'll probably package the two together. Like one will be $8.99 and the other will be $8.99, or you can get them both for $14.99.
Yeah.
So, you know, shave $3 off the total. It'll be something like that, I imagine.
Yeah.
But when you look at the Disney situation, they've already got, well, Disney Channel, XD, Junior. So they've got like four TV channels already with constant ongoing content, plus an old back catalog of stuff, plus all the stuff from back in the 80s and 90s, like DuckTales and Tailspin and the Gummy Bears and all that kind of stuff, plus all of the other Disney promotional stuff, like the documentaries on the Disney Cruise Lines and stuff like that, plus every single Disney movie for like the last 100 years.
Yeah.
So in the Lucasfilm archive is not a fraction of that big.
Right.
It's tiny by comparison. So I think that, I think they might still keep them separate. The last I heard was that they were going to have multiple streaming services. They weren't really specific on it. But.
Which, again, comes to that point, my point of saying, how much is enough? I mean, well, you know, where do you draw the line to say, I don't want to pay for another service?
Right. Well, I'll pay for the Lucasfilm stuff. I probably will not pay for the Disney stuff. Because, again, to me, that's more like a CBS All Access. I mean, I've got Netflix for the movies, or I've got the DVDs I've already purchased for the movies. And then for the TV shows, if there was anything I wanted, I could get it through DirecTV. If I had custody of my son and he wanted to watch stuff, it'd be different. But what's that?
I said, providing they don't pull it from stuff like DirecTV or, you know, cable on demand services, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but you know, I think that for the ongoing television stuff, they still make enough money from the cable providers for that content that it's not. I don't think that one inherently cannibalizes the other from a business model point of view. I think they're still going to keep those those cable licenses. Well,
for now. I mean, at some point.
Yeah, it might change.
I think cable's a dead medium at some point. So, when does that break, over change and people go
when our generation dies, Lou, I think we're going to be the last of the. They're going to be, they're all dead now. Okay. They're going to flip the switch.
No more cable. Start streaming everything.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, speaking of shows that might end up somewhere on a Lucasfilm streaming service, we have gotten news now that a title from years ago may be able to be coming around again.
Ewoks?
Detours? No, not Ewoks.
Detours!
Detours, yeah. Yes. So this was that animated stuff that was announced back in 2012, 2013, done by Seth Green and company, who'd done Robot Chicken and some other stuff. Kind of a satirical look at the Star Wars universe. I think it was set between episode 3 and episode 4 was what they were targeting, I think.
Yeah, kind of ish.
Yeah.
Like the Death Star still exists. Yeah. Yeah, some of it takes place on Dexter's Diner.
Yep.
Oh, Dexter.
There's a trailer out there. It's like a 3.5 minute long trailer. So if you can, just search for Detours trailer, you'll find that out there. It's awesome to watch if you haven't seen it.
There are a few, because there are a lot of different clips that got released back when they were starting to market it.
Oh, yeah?
But then with the buyout, they decided that they were canceling it and they didn't want to proceed at that time because they didn't feel like the time was right. But they had 39 episodes completed. That is more that in some cases, that's 3 seasons worth of TV shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's easily 2.
Yeah. So, and there were 62 that were still written, scripted.
Nice. Nice. I really hope this does come to fruition and this gets, distributed by a Lucasfilm streaming service, because the trailer looks hysterical. I mean, yeah, there's some kind of things that are kind of like, whatever. But for the most part, it was a good slapstick look at the Star Wars universe that we all love.
Yeah. Now, when we talked about it years ago, when it first was announced and we started seeing footage of it, I was kind of down on it and said, some of it looks funny and some of it looks just dumb. But back then that was going to be like the Star Wars content for a while.
Right.
We had Clone Wars, and then now we were getting this, like it was going to be Clone Wars, then Rebels, then this. And it's like, well, I don't want that to be like what my the son only... gets into Star Wars on, you know, like
you can always rewatch the prequels.
Yeah. No, I'm working on that, Mike. Thanks. Twisting that knife.
Come on, Eric. Don't rubbing be some
salt in that wound. No, you'll have to listen to our Outer Rim episodes. We just recorded our Phantom Menace episode.
Oh no, I mean you could have always introduced your son to the prequels if you didn't have Star Wars detours.
I've tried. But so the thing is, this streaming service really is the perfect platform, because now detours, instead of being the primary Star Wars focus for content, becomes an extracurricular thing. And that's exactly what it's supposed to be in the first place, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So putting it on this streaming service, this makes perfect sense. This is ideal.
So, yeah, I agree 100%, because you don't want this to be the only Star Wars new content you have when it's being released. It was not meant for that. But that's what it was going to be
for a while.
Right, right. I mean, this is kind of like next to the Star Wars we love. This is something different.
So it kind of falls in line then with Forces of Destiny. Even though Forces of Destiny is not really that comical slapstick kind of comedy, you have those 3 to 4 minute clips that kind of just appease you when they release them. You know, they release them like eight or nine episodes at a time.
No,
they give you something.
Well, yes, I'm going to say yes to everything you just said, except like the 9 minute episodes. Are these half hour episodes?
No. I meant this Forces of Destiny are like 8 to 9.
Yeah, yeah.
Three minute episodes. Right.
Right.
I don't know how long these ones are going to be.
I get the impression that these are not what I refer to as webisodes. Like
I thought they were like half hour.
I think
comedy episodes. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, otherwise, Mike, yeah, I agree. Yeah. I'm looking forward to this now. Like back when it happened, I was a little on the fence. I love the robot. Well, you know, even the robot chicken stuff, it's like you get one sketch that you want to run and tell everybody you know about. And then you get three sketches. It's like, oh, my gosh. What drug were they smoking when they did this one? Like which?
Well, that's the thing. It's like comedy is so subjective.
Yeah.
And it's not everybody doesn't have the same taste. Even like, you know, watching Saturday Night Live, you know, my wife and I watch it and we get done with a skit and we're like, who thought that was funny?
It's exactly.
Like, who wrote this? And it's like somebody else had to go, yeah, let's do that. It's like, wow. But
again, I think that this is the perfect medium for this, because you can get it as you want it. It's something on the side. You know,
right.
it's not your primary meal for the day. It's when you hit the Dairy Queen drive through on the way home from work, you know?
Right. And nobody can never say you don't have enough Star Wars content to watch out there.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. There's plenty out there.
Well, this may not be video content, but are either of you guys up to date on the comics?
Not even close.
Nope.
I'm so far behind. I was hoping
you guys help me out here, because I am woefully behind in the comics myself. But
I'm working on it.
So we have a new Sith Lord added to canon.
Yeah.
Finally.
And this was, well, I mean, hey, the Sith need to have the only two, you know, two at a time. But no, it's good to have this kind of stuff coming out. And I like the fact that we're getting stuff that's a canon, official canon now, that's not from the movies or will probably ever be seen in the movies. So this is Darth Atreus. Is that how that's pronounced?
Sure. Atreus. Like, I don't know exactly, because when I listen to the audiobook for the comic, I have a hard time getting it to load.
The audiobook for the comic.
Well, yeah, so I know how to pronounce. Maybe there isn't one. Maybe that's why I can't get it to load.
Is that what they describe each panel? Okay, panel one.
Yeah.
There's a green shape with it. No.
They take a long time to get through.
Yeah.
They really do.
Imagine. Oh, boy. Eric. So this was revealed in Star Wars Annual number 4. Let's see. He has two lightsabers with cross guards, you know, a la Kylo Ren.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what else we know about this guy.
You know, I would love it.
Cutting my wrists off as I'm spinning this thing around.
I would love it if his lightsaber would be like Nightwing's stick, where it's one and then it just breaks apart into two. Oh
yeah,
perfect.
Kind of cool. Like the screen
who
sticks
was the character in the Legends novels that had the lightsaber that could extend?
Corran Horn.
Was it?
Yep, he had a knob on it, and he could extend the... And he had a white lightsaber, if I recall correctly, as well. And he could extend the length of the blade.
Oh, that's okay. Cool.
I remember this. I couldn't remember who it was, but that, okay, that makes sense.
He didn't use it very often that way, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see here. So now he is in the same ranks with Bane, Plagueis, Sidious, Maul, Tyrannus, Vader. Oh.
Yeah. You know, so when you think about it, it's weird that those are. Yeah, yeah. But it's a short list because Legends now being Legends, as far as official canon goes, there's not many on the list. I mean, there were, what, six prior to him? So that that raises things by a significant percentage. Now, his lightsabers apparently actually contained his. Some of his dark side energy. So in the storybook, in the story of the comic book, apparently Vader is trying to get a hold of both of them. Luke gets a hold of one of them. Vader gets a hold of one of them. I don't know. Antics ensue from there. But anybody who touched the lightsaber, I guess, was affected by this dark force energy.
Huh. Interesting.
So we've also got a little bit more in canon of the force having an effect on inanimate objects.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
Now, looking at his list, where was Bane mentioned in canon? I mean, where was he brought into canon from?
He
Clone Wars.
Wasn't it Yoda? Yeah, it was Yoda who brought him up.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Now, all the details from the Bane books, I don't know. But yeah, his existence specifically, Clone Wars.
And wasn't Bane the one who had the idea of no more than two?
Yeah.
There must be the rule of two. I thought so.
Yeah, that originated with Bane.
Now, is that rule canon? Because that was in the original.
Well, yeah, because
did Maul say it?
It was actually mentioned in one of the movies.
Yeah,
it was,
okay. Yeah, you're right. Yep.
The end of episode one, I think. Always right, two, there are a master and an apprentice.
Yoda talking with,
Yeah.
I thought Maul said it in Clone Wars, or Maul said it in Rebels 2.
He probably did as well.
He may have said as well, yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure it's probably come up a couple of times in Clone Wars, but it was definitely mentioned in the actual films as well. Not referencing, quote, rule of two, nor Darth Bane in the movies, but describing the rule of two was in the movies.
I don't care about anybody on that list. Can we just get some more Maul action? Can we get a Maul trilogy?
We talked about that in Outer Rim this past episode.
I'd rather have a Maul trilogy than a Thrawn trilogy.
The two biggest tragedies of the entire saga, episodes one through episodes eight, are the death of, well, the pseudo death of Maul.
Right.
And the death of Qui-Gon Jinn. Two characters that should have lasted a lot longer, I think.
Well, Maul is actually the one that got me into Star Wars, though.
Right.
I had never seen anything of Star Wars. And episode one, my dad took me to see it. And I had never seen the trailer for it. So when I saw his lightsaber ignite on both ends for the first time, that sold me on Star Wars.
See, you saw it the way it should have been seen. Because I've complained about that for years.
And that sold me. And since then, Maul's been my hero.
Awesome.
And I was so upset when they killed him at the end of the episode. And I just,
Yeah, I mean, Lucasfilm's got a habit of throwing away really good characters and just not using them to their fullest extent. I'll disagree with Eric on the whole Qui-Gon Tim thing, but, I mean, Qui-Gon Jinn thing. See,
Qui-Gon Jinn. Qui-Gon Tim's coming back soon regardless. That's not what we're talking about.
Yeah, but no, you're right. I don't think that was a needed character to have going. I thought he served his role in his kind of time was done. I think it was fine.
Did, but I just part of it, I think, was the performance was a lot better than a lot of the other performances we got from the prequels. I don't want to bring up all that stuff all over again, but there were some particular actors, him being one of them,
that had a hard time,
who managed to succeed despite some of the limitations of the prequels.
Yep. So.
Limitations of a director, we'll just say.
I wasn't going to say that, but
I did. Okay, so Eric, this last story we have in the news topics here, you wanted to mention our policy on spoilers and the fact that people can skip ahead if they're using chapter markers, right?
Yeah. So,
why don't you explain that a little bit?
We have gone back to inserting chapter markers in most of the podcasts on the network, at least most of the ones I personally edit, to include Echo Base. And what that means is that in most podcast players, this will allow you to skip around within the episode. Normally, if you hit that, like that fast forward button, you know, you hold down on it and it fast forwards, you tap it once and it skips to the next track. That would normally take you to a different podcast episode. Now, with the markers, it will jump to the next section of that podcast episode. Not all podcast players support this. The Apple podcast app does now. That was one of the bigger holdouts. I think most of the bigger Android ones do. Overcast does. Downcast does. So if you have that ability, and if we're going to talk about a spoiler on the episode, when you hear the spoiler warning, you can now skip to the next topic. You don't have to worry about, well, I want to hear the rest of the episode, but do I skip ahead 5 minutes? Do I skip ahead 10 minutes? And then if you skip too far, then you miss the beginning of the next topic. This takes care of all of that for you. So now, that being said, there's a question as to whether this rumor would even count as a spoiler anyway, because it's about casting for episode 9. So it has no information about the storyline, nothing about that. It's just a casting thing. And it doesn't sound like it's a casting thing like the character who appears at the end of the Solo movie. That's more of like a special Easter egg cameo sort of thing. This is more like casting along the lines of Luke Skywalker is in episode 8. Okay. So, but wait, just in case, we're going to give a spoiler warning. You guys can skip ahead now here if you want to. I really wouldn't worry about it. Seriously, trust me, I don't think this is not going to ruin anything for you. Okay, because once you sit down to watch episode 9, if it's true, you're going to find out pretty much right away anyway. And as we get closer to the movie, this would be on the posters. This is going to be in the trailers, almost certainly. It's going to be on IMDb, like the cast listing. It's going to be obvious.
That person will probably be on the red carpet, too, at the premiere.
It comes around, it's not going to be a surprise. Yeah, you're right.
There'll be
a
guest on the Star Wars show. Like, it's going to be all over the place. It already kind of is all over the place right now. So just, like, chill. Don't worry about it. It's all good.
So, Eric, you've warned him up sufficiently.
I hope just so.
Tell him who it is.
Billy D. Williams.
Hey!
According to Fanthatrax, Billy D. Williams is apparently going to appear in Episode 9. This has been rumored for a while now because apparently there have been some rumblings about him making some appearances at some places regarding Lucasfilm and sets and things like that. Apparently he's on some kind of, he's been put on a new diet of some sort, specifically in relation to a film project, et cetera.
Okay.
So the speculation, so that's the rumor. That's the extent of it. Hey, Billy D. Williams will be in episode 9. And if he's in episode 9, he's obviously going to be coming back as Lando Calrissian. Now,
right
from there, that's where the rumor ends. Now, personal speculation would indicate he's coming back as Lando. He's probably going to be taking on a lot of the leadership role of the Resistance that would have otherwise fallen to Leia had Carrie Fisher not passed on. That's my prediction.
Mm. And I think that makes sense.
That's a good one.
I think that's grounded in some, you know, reality.
Right. I mean, he ran Cloud City, so he's got some governance experience. We don't know what he's been doing in the meantime. Well, other than, you know, a book or two here or there. He's got experience leading the assault on the second Death Star.
Right. I mean, he was a general.
Right.
At that point, right? So.
So it would fit. You know?
Yeah, I think so. And I don't think it's a stretch to have him back. No. Now, I would like to know, you know, after this is all over and we see the movie, I'd love to know if he was considered before Carrie's passing.
Right.
To be some sort of, you know, be some sort of role in the movie.
Right.
Or if this is just them scrambling to fill that void. And I'm not saying, you know, it's bad because they're scrambling to fill the void. They have to do something.
Right.
I would just like to know if it was planned or not.
I don't think we're ever going to find out. And the reason is because the major changes to the script happened after Carrie passed. So the answer from Lucasfilm will always end up being, well, we didn't plan for anybody in particular to come back who wasn't already in 7 and 8 until we had a script, and the script happened after Carrie passed. So therefore, we can't say that we're bringing Lando back because Carrie passed. If Carrie hadn't passed, we might have still been doing it. We don't know because we didn't have the final script yet.
Yeah, that's true. That's
fair. He could have had a smaller part in the episode if he. I agree. I would like to know before.
Right.
But obviously, I hope we would know after. But I could almost see him having a small part at first, and then after she passed, they said, okay, we're going to rewrite it. Like you said, the major changes, and now we're going to give him a bigger role than what he already had in the script to begin with.
Mm. Right.
Yeah, you know, this is one of those things that, like we talked about before, Eric, that we'd love to have that tell-all, you know, for the making of this trilogy. I mean, I'd love to know where the skeletons are buried and what took place.
You need to take the shackles off of J.W. Rinsler. Let him out of his cage that you've been keeping him in. Set him free and let him write these books that he was supposed to be doing for us.
Yes, I would love that.
Just saying.
Yeah.
He's the perfect guy for it.
Let's see here. So for discussion, we have two topics to talk about. Which one do we want to talk about first? Do we do them in order here? Is the second one going to be a longer discussion?
I think the second one will be longer. Let's get the first one out of the way.
Okay. So Tom Kane, who has done voices of Yoda, Ackbar in Last Jedi. So he's a prominent Star Wars person.
Yep.
Has said there is 9 movies in development.
Yes.
9 Star Wars movies.
It's a lot of Star Wars movies.
So we kind of already knew this. But we've never had it presented this way before to say that there are 9.
There's been so many changes in the last couple of years that titles have come and gone. We've had this was announced or not announced, sorry. This was rumored and then now it's not rumored anymore. So it's like, okay. So what are these 9 movies that we're potentially going to be getting?
Well, we know right off the bat we've got a trilogy from Rian Johnson. So that's 3.
Okay.
We have a series from Benioff and Wise. Now, a series means at least 2. Most people are inferring that it will be at least 3, but technically, in a literal sense, it's at least 2. So there's a minimum of 5 right there. We know we've got episode 9 coming that was included in this context. So now we have a minimum of 6. It has been all but officially confirmed that there is a Kenobi movie in production.
All right.
And a Fett movie in production. Expectations are that the Kenobi movie is going to film immediately after episode 9. The Fett movie would not begin filming until 2020. So that accounts for 8 of the 9. And really, if you want to say that the Benioff and Weiss series is more likely to be at least 3 movies, then that would be all 9 films.
There's your 9. Okay.
Yeah. Now, they were going to be, there were rumors. Oh, go ahead.
So it's not as far-fetched sometimes as you think. It's like, wow, 9 movies, it seems like an awful lot. What do we know? But you're right. You put some pens to paper and you write these things down. And yeah, that becomes 8 or 9 movies pretty easily. Yeah.
And nobody's mentioned the Maul trilogy yet. I know that's coming.
So, but that's a good point, though, because people have been speculating. Okay, so is the Kenobi thing going to overlap with Solo and Crimson Dawn and all that kind of stuff? Is the Fett movie going to overlap? Are we going to get a Lando movie?
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, I'd rather see a Lando movie with Donald Glover than a Kenobi movie. I think Fett is still the optimal choice right now for a spinoff, but. Man, Lando.
Yeah, I mean, Lando would be cool. And the problem I have with Fett is, I mean, as much as I want a Fett movie, I don't want to spoil that mystery behind him.
You can do it though with that. You're right. You're right. Yeah, but you can do it without that. But
yeah,
you can do it without ever taking the helmet off, without ever just make it a bounty hunter movie. You're about a mission, about a hunt, single hunt. Yep. You know.
But you know, without any of those things, I mean, everything you talked about, Lando, Kenobi, Fett, all those things, if they were done in the same world that Solo just created, I'd be on board 100%. I mean, I am really happy with that world that Solo gave us and in the potential doors it opened for us. I'm very, very excited about that.
Well, I wouldn't mind a Fett movie, but I'm worried about a Kenobi movie. Now, I would love an Obi-Wan Kenobi, because if there was one Jedi that I liked, it'd be Obi-Wan. I really liked Ian McGregor's portrayal of Obi-Wan. I thought he was phenomenal. I think if they can get him again, I don't think they need to recast him. I don't think they need to play let's cast five Jokers with Obi-Wan Kenobi. All right. So
yeah.
I think it'd be good. My only worry about a Kenobi movie is that there's so little you can actually say about him within that span as he was watching Luke, because he was supposed to be watching Luke and protecting over him. Now, one thing I wouldn't mind would be in the comics, and I've just started reading some of the comics where the journal of Kenobi is found. I wouldn't mind if you wanted to do a couple of movies with those. You could do a couple of movies of those adventures. Maybe he recorded in the journal.
Okay,
and go that route. But the problem is that you're limited that if he uses Force abilities, somebody will pick up on it,
right,
or the stories will be told. So how much can you really do of a Kenobi movie?
But now the Kenobi novel that was out, and I think that was before the new canon stuff.
I tried so hard to get through that. I need to go back and try again.
I didn't mind it, but they were able to do a story and not spoil the whole thing of him having to watch Luke and, you know, how do you make an interesting story about him playing out in the sand for 10 years?
It's like the old 80s movie Adventures in Babysitting, just without the adventures part. Right? There's nothing to do. You're in the desert and your next door neighbor's a little kid. Not even next door neighbor. Like, you know, 20 miles away, there's a kid. That's why you're there. You can't have contact with the kid. You're not even really babysitting. You're just nearby in case 20 years later someone comes and attacks them.
Creepy stalker guy that nobody wants to know.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
or you're waiting for a final showdown with somebody.
Listen, if they can pull it off. I mean, Mike, I'm with you. I loved Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan.
He did a phenomenal job. Yep.
I am so scared for this movie, even in a way that I was not for Solo. For Solo, I think, again, like we said, you always ran the risk of doing more harm to the character than good. And I think that you don't have that problem with Kenobi, other than the fact that you've kind of, I mean, you've locked him in a box. That's it. There's
Have they all but come out and said that he was on Tatooine the whole time? I mean, could he have gone to, and I know at the end of episode 3, Yoda said that they must separate for right now because the time is not ready. Could he have gone to Tatooine, commune with Qui-Gon, and then could he have met up with Yoda sometime between that time saying, well, Luke was growing up for something?
Yeah. Sure. I mean, he could have left and gone to Dagobah and gone back. You know, we really don't know. We've never seen anything of him off of Tatooine so far. And we have seen more of him on Tatooine, for example, in Rebels.
Right.
But in the Kenobi novel, that's not canon anyway, right? That's Legends.
No, not right. It's Legends. Okay. Now, right.
So we can't count that. So we really don't have a whole lot.
I mean, if he had to go away, he could have left Watto to watch Luke for a while.
Yes. That would absolutely be who I would leave my kid with. Let me tell you.
Back Watto.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Moving it along.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to the Fett movie. I'd love to see a Lando movie. And like you said, Lou, I think the world building surrounding the events of the Solo film have been phenomenal. I'd love to see more of that.
Yeah.
There were rumors for a while about a Yoda movie as recently as a couple of weeks ago. And this is something that Lucas had talked about years and years and years and years and years and years ago before the sale to Disney was even a consideration. I mean, we're talking at least as far back as the prequels, if not before that, where there was an interview and they were talking, you know, hey, would you ever go back and do more Star Wars movies? And he was talking about, yeah, he might want to go back and do an origin story for Yoda. And this is like way, way back then. So I don't know if a draft of that might have been part of the stuff he turned over to Lucasfilm when, because apparently he at least had a story treatment for it at some point. Mm-hmm. But apparently that is no longer being considered. So any rumors about that, you can just kind of forget about those.
Yeah,
that doesn't make me sad. So,
yeah, I mean, when you talk about like the mystery, I think that's another character where he is so well defined and well sculpted already that it'd be nice to see more of him. But it's going to be so much more a plot story than a character development story that what are you going to do? You know?
Yeah,
I mean, you could do an origin story for him from, you know, 800 years ago, possibly.
Right.
But what would that get you? I mean, would it really add that much more to the character of Yoda?
No. It would have to be a movie about the events in the movie or about the other characters that Yoda's present for and Yoda is the protagonist. But you don't want to change. You don't want to show Yoda going through some kind of Han Solo story arc where, you know, he started out as this obnoxious teenager and then all of a sudden became old and wise. Like, you don't want to do that with Yoda.
Just try to picture Yoda as an obnoxious teenager.
Right.
That would be a bad movie. It really would.
Listen to you, I do not have to.
I'm picturing Yoda as like a character of you know, Ralph Macchio from The Karate Kid.
Oh my goodness!
Learning the ways of the Force and, you know, right, wax on, wax off thing, and you know,
crane kick.
Yoda just not getting it.
Oh man.
Yeah, sorry, that was bad. Yeah. Okay, so our next discussion point, and Eric, I'm going to let you lead this one because I don't know as much about this as you did. I didn't see the article you pulled this from.
All right.
George Lucas potentially has talked about what he would have done for the sequel trilogy and how it would have been received by fans.
Yeah, he did an interview very, very recently, and I think that this should be... There's all of this hate. I don't even know that there's all of this hate. It's just what hate is out there is very vocal about Disney's butchering of Star Wars and how horrible the sequel trilogy is and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, there are some arguments to be made that the movies have some substantial issues that some of us question, even though we enjoyed them. But I think that this interview goes a long way toward reassuring us that Disney was probably wise to go away from Lucas's original treatment for the trilogy. He said, and this is a quote from George Lucas, that the sequels, quote, "We're going to get into a microbiotic world. But there's this world of creatures that operate differently than we do. I call them the Wills, W-H-I-L-L-S. And the Wills are the ones who can actually control the universe. They feed off of the Force." So, and then he has another quote. "If I'd held on to the company, I could have done it. And then it would have been done. Of course, a lot of the fans would have hated it, just like they did Phantom Menace and everything. But at least the whole story from beginning to end would be told." I'm kind of glad that if this is the end of that story, that we're getting a different end to the story.
Yeah.
Because, like, listen, I've been very vocal about the fact that I don't have a big problem with the midichlorians as expressed in episode one, because it was a brief throwaway line. It didn't ruin the mystery of the Force to me. It just... I mean, so if some bacteria in your body acts as an antenna, basically, to help like catch the Force waves, so to speak, that still doesn't explain the nature of the Force. That just means, you know, some people have a stronger antenna than others. So I'm okay with that. But if the point of the sequel trilogy is going to get into, quote, get into a microbiotic world, and now we're, you know, these things are called the Wills, which, you know, we had the Journal of the Wills was part of the original Star Wars lore going all the way back to 1977. We've got the Keeper of the Wills as part of the Rogue One sort of pseudo force users, force sensitive things there. I mean, the whole thing with So do you guys really want to see a trilogy that's kind of based on this, you know, bacterial microorganism symbiosis thing?
No, first of all, I didn't hate Phantom Menace, so I don't know where he got that from. Secondly,
well, I mean, a lot of people
well, you know,
threw
it's okay.
him under the bus for that really it's okay. hard. Those
people can have opinions. They can be wrong. It's all right. But I would not have wanted to see the Star Wars version of Ant-Man. I mean, it just – when I read this, I thought, I am so glad that he did sell it to Disney. Because I would not have wanted to see this. But at the same time, I don't want to say it could have been a publicity stunt. Could he, because he knew the fan backlash for Last Jedi was so awful, could he have said this to get them to think, okay, you know what, maybe we should be glad Disney took it over because we would have got this instead? Was he trying to curve people's opinions? I mean, maybe. I don't think he would have done that. I just think he...
That is a legitimate argument. However... He has been on record a couple of times with some complaints about episode 7 and 8, especially 7, saying that the film wasn't brave enough. It didn't take things far enough in a new direction. It was too nostalgic.
Well, Disney did play it safe, though, but it was a new product. They wanted to make sure that it was going to pass. Right. And then they went off the other way. And then the next episode.
Right. So, thinking that, well, he's saying this now is a way to get people to back off of Disney. I mean, he himself didn't back off of Disney. So I mean, you make a good point. I don't think that's what happened, though.
Right. Well, I don't think so either. I'm just saying, if I was thinking it, I mean, that could have been a thought that could have crossed some people's minds. But all in all, no, I would not have wanted to see this. So I'm kind of glad what we got with Disney.
I have to agree with Mike. I would not have been a fan of this kind of a story coming out,
right?
In a movie format. I would love to have hear, you know, or see some of the treatments he's written for these things, to see where it was going and how he was kind of describing it. But I'm glad it didn't go that way for the movies themselves.
Maybe books.
Yeah,
I could see this being something that, you know, could come across well in novel form, maybe.
Yeah, and I'll say this. I mean, I did not dislike the Phantom Menace. I've been on record before that, you know, not the movie I wanted, but it's the movie that we got, so I'm going to enjoy it.
Right.
But I got to disagree with you, Eric, on the fact that you think that the midichlorians thing was a throwaway line. I mean, it's defining the nature of the Force. It's not.
It doesn't define the nature of the Force, though. It just defines how well attuned somebody is to it.
Yeah, I know, but to me that passage in the movie brought you from the Force being a mystical power of a fairy tale story to something we can define by science. And that to me changed the nature of how the movie, you know, how that thematic element in the movie was being portrayed to us.
So I get what you're saying. Let me present you with this. When you think about human reproduction, you have a cell that, you know, you have the egg and the sperm cell, and when they combine, it's a single cell that is then splitting. You've got, you know, meiosis, mitosis, etc. Mm-hmm. But like, it's not a whole being. It doesn't have any thoughts. It doesn't have. It's not aware. It's cells. And we can talk about the science of that, but then when it grows and, you know, given birth and it's developing and stuff, we still don't understand like consciousness and, you know, a soul. Mm-hmm. Where is the soul located?
I agree.
I think even more so, the midichlorians, it's just talking about, it's an antenna that helps someone tune into the Force a little more strongly than other people. It's not the Force itself.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but it didn't sit well with me.
Okay,
well,
that's fair.
That midichlorian line probably would have made more sense if George Lucas had been able to do his sequels. Because from what his quote was about it, if he was talking about going into a microbiotic world, there's no doubt the midichlorian concept would have come back up in his sequels.
Well, so I mentioned
that line would have made more sense probably if he had done his own sequels. And then it would have made a whole bunch of other people mad because they felt like then we just wasted three films on the science of the Force rather than keeping it, as Lou would say, as a mystic, right. presence.
For all the people who complained about episode 8 being wasted as, you know, the O.J. Simpson car chase through space, yeah, we would have had a whole wasted trilogy on. So I mentioned before that on Outer Rim, we're going back through each one of the movies one by one. And we just recorded our episode for The Phantom Menace. And in the director's commentary, Lucas specifically says that the midichlorians have been there all along from his early concepts about Star Wars. He just never had room to put it into those movies. So now with episode one, now he had an opportunity to actually include that. And, but that's something that's been there from the very beginning.
Well, it, yeah, so in his mind it has, but right. it was never presented to us. So
no.
In terms of what it was presented, it was not part of this from the beginning. Right.
You're right.
And I totally get,
but I can, in his can say, mind, like what he valued this on about
page
it.
One of the first, you know, script I wrote, but it didn't make it to the screen. So it's not part of the movie.
No. But going back to all the way back to at least 1999 or earlier, while they were actually making The Phantom Menace, he was stating that it actually goes all the way back to the mid-70s, that this is kind of what's going on with everything. So there's some veracity to what's being said here about the fact that he probably would have made this a really big thing with the sequels. This is something that, you're right, Lou, he didn't present this to us. We don't give a crap. But in his mind, this is valuable. This mind, is like,
I mean, I tried that at the casino last week. I was like, I was going to bet on, you know, 23 black. And I didn't. I was like, but no, in my mind, I did before you came up and I should get the money for that.
Yeah. Well, so the difference is you walked away from the gambling table. If you'd stayed there, it would have been a whole sequel's worth of you betting on 23 black over and over and over and over
it
again.
It would never hit again. Right.
Right.
But I mean, I don't know. I mean, I still would like to know. I would love to get my hands on his treatments and I'd love to sit down for him in a couple hours and just let's hash this out. Come on, George, tell me what your whole plan was. Tell me what you would have done for the sequel trilogy, what you would have done for side movies. What stories did you want to tell that weren't told on screen?
He would have told a Jar Jar story.
I don't have a big problem with Jar Jar either.
I don't either. I
have a Boss Nass. I'll take a whole trilogy just focused on Jar Jar as long as I never have to watch Boss Nass again in my life.
Yes.
Really?
I cannot stand. And Fred said the same thing. You guys got to listen to the Outer Rim episode. Yeah, Fred said the same thing. Boss Nass is just abysmal.
Loopy. I'm not sure I want to listen to it.
I can't stand him either. So that'll be three of us on that one.
Cringe every time he comes on screen. I mean,
I know you have that little blurb about Jar Jar in the Aftermath trilogy, but I would have liked to see that progression. So somehow, but anyways.
And listen, for all of the slapstick stuff in Star Wars, okay, the slapstick C-3PO stuff at the end of Attack of the Clones, can argue that Anakin flying in the Phantom Menace, flying against the capital ship, the droid control ship out in space, you can argue that that is the spaceship equivalent of slapstick.
Yeah.
Spinning. Oh, that's a neat trick. Oh, what's this button do? Pew, pew, pew. Oh, yeah. I blew everything up and won the day. Like, it was spaceship slapstick. But say what you will about Jar Jar, the slapstick in the Gungan battle worked for me. That was a successful representation of the type of slapstick from back in, like, the 1920s era of film where you kind of accidentally tripped across this kind of what's that, like the Rube Goldstein machine or something, where it just sets off this avalanche of things that ends up working. That was the only slapstick that worked was Jar Jar in that battle.
And I didn't mind, you're right, I agree with you there. I did not mind the slapstick in the Gungan battle. I didn't like the mannerisms they gave Jar Jar, the way he spoke. It just seemed out of character for a Star Wars movie. It didn't work for me.
Okay, but the MTV music video they inserted into Return of the Jedi is okay. Jabba's Palace.
I didn't care for that either. I mean, there's a lot of things I don't care for in Star Wars movies, but...
I know, I just... I have know, to,
overall, it's that kind of stuff that just took me out of the whole you know, experience of it. I mean, like, I didn't care for the vocal inflections that the Nemoidians had in the beginning of, you know, it just, it didn't work for me.
I don't like the Nemoidians at all.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, I'm looking, watching, like, this seems really racist to me. It's like, yeah, geez, you know, but.
Well, I mean, I'll say this, outside of Darth Maul, I was at age where Jar Jar's antics and the way he talked and who he was when when that movie came out, that was perfect for my age.
Yeah, okay. I hear that over and over again.
That helped me really get into it because I was probably 10 or 11 when that movie came out. That was just a perfect age. So outside of Maul, Jar Jar got me hooked into the fandom.
Yep. Andrea said the same thing about Jar Jar. She's like, yeah, I was a kid. I loved Jar Jar. And back when I was doing – in 2005 when I was doing the podcast for TheForce.net, everyone I asked who had kids, I said, write in and tell me. And not a single person. It was 100 – now, it's just, you know, it's not scientifically accurate representation and sampling and statistics and blah, blah, blah. But, like, of the people who wrote in, 100% said, yeah, I didn't like Jar Jar, but my kids – loved Jar Jar. There was not a single parent who wrote in and said their kids did not like Jar Jar. I've yet to this day to hear of any kids watching it as kids who did not like Jar Jar. So that it worked in that regard.
So you're saying I'm old.
You're so old.
You say that a lot.
I do. Okay. I do. I don't want you to forget because you know what happens when you get older.
The ninth film right there, the Jar Jar film.
So I do want to say this, though. Listen, we are getting a tweet. I mean, we're making all these judgments about this concept off of a tweet. To be fair, George has come up with some really good story concepts that if you look at them over the course of – if you describe them as a paragraph, if you go back to the descriptions of A New Hope before May 25th, 1977 – like, if you read the description summary in the newspaper, it made no sense. Like, it was just ridiculous. And yet, it turned out to be one of the greatest films of all time. So, we have to keep in mind that as we're sitting here tearing this idea apart, and I'm doing it too, I'm including myself in this, we have to temper that with the fact that we are only seeing a small summary. We have no idea what the overall premise would have been, how it would have been executed. It could have turned out well. I mean, we need to be fair. We don't have all the information. We don't know what the end result would have been.
Very true. Very true.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, guys, I want to say it's been a fun episode. I think we had some good discussions here. I really enjoyed talking about the movies coming up and then this whole George Lucas thing that was really exciting for me personally. But I now have to blame Tim for something.
Okay.
We do not have a Fun Factor trivia, and because Tim is not here. And network policy states whoever's not here is the one to blame. He gets blamed for not having a Fun Fact trivia. He could have submitted one. He could have emailed us, right, Eric? I mean, he could have sent one in.
You know, I would have to say that from the level of activity in Discord, including all the pictures he's been posting from Germany and Austria, I'm thinking he could have squeezed something in somewhere.
Yeah, I think he could have. So, yeah, we'll blame him.
Yep.
So unfortunately, folks, we have no Fun Factor trivia. Next week, we will try to do better. Unless you guys have anything else, I think this brings us to the end of another episode. Mike, thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. But I was told there was going to be a section where we could talk about the negativity of Star Wars creators and fans.
No, that was the last episode. You missed it.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's your fun fact for the week.
Ship has sailed. Sorry, Mike.
Oh, no. I ain't going to talk about none of that.
Done. Anybody has any questions for us or any kind of feedback for us, best way to get a hold of all the hosts is to send an email. The email address is echobase@randomchatter.com. Best way to get a hold of all of us. You can find all of our stuff online. Force Chatter is the new Twitter feed for the Star Wars stuff. Random Chatter, of course, is the Twitter feed for the network itself. You can find myself on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Luke Skywalker without the E. Eric, where can people find you on Twitter?
Well, for now, until I come up with something better so Tim stops harassing me, you can find me at Eric Blythe. That's ERIKBLYTHE.
Awesome. And Mike, where can they find you on Twitter?
You can find me at Obi Mike Kenobi. That's Obi _ Mike Kenobi.
See, Eric, yours just seems very pale in comparison.
It does. I know. I've asked for help, but nobody wants to help me.
We also have a couple of Instagram accounts for the network. We do have a random chatter Instagram account and a forced chatter Instagram account. I do have a special little project on Instagram as well. You can find my stuff online there at 6-inch Hero. It's a photography of all my 6-inch black figures. I'm expanding as it we speak.
Very, very cool. Very cool stuff.
Thanks. I'm having fun with it. Oh, and you can find all of our shows at randomshadow.com.
Yeah, I was wondering if you were going to throw that part in or not.
And now forcechatter.com. See that?
Forcechatter too. And I also want to point out, don't forget, you can catch more of Mike along with myself and Carrie as part of the Caped Chronicles, where we are covering each of the modern superhero films in order. And fortunately, we are through the Superman stuff.
Don't worry, we still got one more super to go through, and that's Supergirl from 1984. But hey, this week we're going to be recording Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from the 90s. So that's exciting. Supergirl
cannot be as bad as,
Lord help you,
as Superman 3 or 4. And we did Tim Burton's Batman already, so you should check that out too. That's a good representation of what the show is going to be like going forward. And we've got some other projects that we are developing behind the scenes with Mike as well. So you'll be able to hear more of him on the network. And
I'll pray for you all on that one.
Yeah. We would love it if you would help support the network, both the show Echo Base and the Random Chatter Network, but also the Force Chatter Network. You know, we have a separate feed for that in iTunes and Stitcher and Google Play and TuneIn. If you could go and maybe leave a review for the Force Chatter Network itself, if you've listened to the various Star Wars shows that make up that network, then you are absolutely within your rights to go and type up a little paragraph and let people know why it's worth listening to those shows. Okay? We would really appreciate it if you would do that. You can also tell your friends about us. Share us out on social media. That's a big way to get the word out, not just when we have new episodes out, but like start up a conversation. Let's bring some positivity back to the world of social media for Star Wars. Talk about some of the stuff from this episode. Mm-hmm. Ask us questions. Tag us in the tweets. Let's get some conversations going. Okay? So also, we want to throw out there, go to randomchatter.com/application. If you have any interest in maybe being a part of the Random Chatter Network someday, we are looking for people for some upcoming show projects. We've got some more superhero-related stuff. We've got some DC related projects coming up. And even aside from that, we like to have a sample of people who might be good candidates for future hosts. So head over there, fill out a little questionnaire about your interests, record a quick little 5-minute recording in a little MP3 file and upload it. And we're going to keep that on file. And when we have projects where we need someone to fill in, even if maybe it's just a guest from time to time, we go through and look at those and pull people in. In fact, we've already done that a couple of times with recent hosts to bring people into the network. So again, that's randomchatter.com/application. Another way you can help us out is by joining our community and participating in it. And by that, I mean our Discord server. If you go to randomchatter.com/discord, it's free. It's open to everybody. Head over there and join our server. We've got not only a main lobby channel, we've got channels for each of the podcast shows. A lot of activity going on there, and we would love to see you there. Now, if you do want to help donate financially to the network, even just $1 a month, that makes more of a difference than you might think. Then head over to randomchatter.com/Patreon. That will also unlock the rest of the Discord server. We've got a lot more going on there as well. And we would really appreciate your support, but even if you don't want to donate, we would appreciate your participation. We really want to hear from you. Finally, the music you hear on this podcast is The Imperial March by Cell Dweller.
With that, we're going to close down the show and close the blast doors. Guys, thanks for listening. We'll come back at you in about a week.